Now, next Monday, we've got the Dawn Chorus on Sunday, but next Monday at 3 p.m. in our Nature on One slot, we have a special documentary celebrating three decades of Mooney Goes Wild on RTE Radio 1. The programme is presented and produced by Colm Flynn.
The rainforest was a whole new world. There were lots of different types of tall trees, colourful orchids, thick, dense shrubs, ferns and mosses everywhere.
30 years ago, a nature programme launched on Irish Radio.
In a couple of weeks, this pond will be teeming with tadpoles, tens of thousands of tadpoles. I presume
it was different. It wasn't academic, and it certainly wasn't dry.
Be back, girls. Do you remember I was here maybe some weeks ago when I said I'd come back with the bees? I nearly didn't make it.
No, it was curious and charming and full of surprises.
Through this way, over a little bit. And okay, stop here. Now, turn around, look over there.
Wow.
There she is in all her glory, Derek. That's Zarafa the giraffe. Can you just imagine?
And it had a crown jewel. An annual broadcast like no other in the world.
As dawn breaks and morning light spreads from east to west, we'll be bringing you the breathtaking beauty of birdsong as it moves like a spectacular wave of sound across the face of the earth. So for the next 6 hours, we'll be coming to you live from...
I'm Colm Flynn, and in this special programme on RTE Radio 1, we're marking three decades of Mooney Goes Wild, a show that's explored everything from the behaviour of animals, fish and birds to the wonders of ecosystems, biodiversity and the impact of climate change. Each episode has brought us closer to the astonishing diversity of life on this planet, whether it's the secrets of mammals or the intricacies of evolution. It's a show that's reshaped how we hear, think about and even love the natural world around us. And it all began with this man.
Well, I think it's time for me to get into my wetsuit. I wouldn't fit into it now, I can tell you. Anyway, it's hard to believe we're 30 years on air. You can hear this documentary next Monday from 3 p.m. right here on RTE Radio 1. Let's have a listen to another clip. It features Richard, who was in Virginia in the United States some years ago, making a documentary about trumpeter swans. Professor Bill Sladen was teaching them how to find their way home.
An extraordinary experiment is taking place in the United States. Yo-Yo is a trumpeter swan, and Professor Bill Sladen is teaching trumpeters how to migrate.
That's very nice. Now, they're coming along nicely.
They'll come down, but we just have to give them time. Come on, Yo-Yo!
The trumpeter is the world's largest swan, and it's the world's heaviest flying animal.
Richard Collins, the late Professor Bill Sladen, and of course, Yo-Yo the trumpeter swan. Richard, what was going on there?
Well, Derek, the largest swan in the world is the trumpeter. Now, in America, it was thought to be on the verge of extinction when a population was found in Alaska. So it was realised that perhaps it could be rewilded, it could be brought back to the places from which it had departed. So swans were taken from eggs and things and hatched out and cygnets and taken down to states where they had disappeared and reared there. Now, everything seemed fine, but when it came to migrating, the baby swans had to go off and the mothers had to take them to their suitable destination for the winter and so on, they discovered that, in fact, the poor old mothers and fathers didn't know where to go. They needed educating. And at early Virginia, they devised a scheme to re-educate the parent swans so that they would take the babies with them on migration to the right locations. They were going off in all directions and ending up in the most unlikely places, which wasn't suitable for the young swans at all. So what they hit on was the idea of micro lights, and we talked to the pilots of these microlights. Now, what they did was, when the babies hatched, they were imprinted on swan mums who looked after them and pilots of the microlights. Then they were gradually taken out and they would follow the pilot. When he got into the microlight, they would run down the runway with him, and eventually when he took off, they would fly around with him. So it was, they hit on the idea of a chain of landing places all the way to the winter destination that the project had chosen. They would take the babies off and fly them for the day and land at these destinations on the way and eventually end up in the winter location. This was the plan. It worked to some extent. But there were problems because many of the swans were rather bulshy, and some of the juveniles would throw a tantrum on the way and leave the family, and the poor old pilots had to chase after them to get them to come back and so on and so forth. But it was an ingenious project involved in using imprinting to restore the swans to their correct locations.
Just one of the memories over 30 years of Mooney Goes Wild right here on RT Radio 1. And Annie, you say it is next week. It is around the 5th of May that we first came on air 30 years ago.
Yes, indeed. I'm not an elephant, but I have a memory like one. And 30 years ago, I remember it well. We were having this wonderful programme called Mooney Goes Wild. And I was going to miss the first programme because I had a holiday booked in Crete. And off I had to go. So I know exactly when it was because I was back for the second one and all the rest of them after that, because I've been there since the very beginning, more than any of the rest of you have, more than
no,
my
there
life.
Was you, then Richard, then Terry, then Niall.
Then
that's
Niall,
the way
yes.
it was.
And there were other
and then
people.
Everybody else were.
There was John Cook. There were
yeah,
other, there was
John O'Halloran was contributing. Ken was. Whelan, Jim Wilson,
Don
Eric
Conroy,
Dempsey,
Don
Conroy
yes,
over
yes,
the
yes.
years. Lots
but,
of people.
But I'm still the only woman.
Well, Niall.
It really is an amazing legacy, Derek. And when I was talking to Colin Flynn about the memories for this documentary and the recording that we did, it's actually really hard to think of what sticks out most because so much of it does. You would think that after all of these years that we'd be running out of stories, but no. at all. We're still having to cut things because there's not enough space. You will never run out of wildlife stories.
We could be on literally every day.
The one number one question that I've been consistently asked, when people know that I'm on Mooney Goes Wild, the one thing they ask me about the birds and they ask me about you, Derek. The main thing I'm asked is, what is Eanna Launa really like?
What is she
actually,
like?
Is she like
I
that in
know.
Real life? Yes, she is.
Like that in spades, actually. Apparently, I didn't realise people were afraid being interviewed by me. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, when I was talking to Declan O'Donovan, he said, oh God, and I'm going to be. I remember being in the studio and you were the one that was going to interview and I was all terrified going in. But then he said, you weren't so bad when you went in, you were grand. He said, but you had this reputation of being awful. I didn't realise I was such a target. I thought I was a lovely person. So I'm amazed that they want to know what am I like.
I'd say you're someone with a strong personality who's affable, available and assertive, which makes you, Eanna, both approachable and influential. How does that sound?